I'm going to teach on how to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit. How to... Will you wait till I'm done? We're going to, you know, there's a lot of interesting things going around. There's a lot of weird stuff in Christian circles at times. And I hear people telling me all the time, and I'm getting to be pretty careful with it, God told me. Anybody ever hear that? God told me to tell you. I believe in personal prophecies, but I believe that if God's going to give me a pretty personal prophecy, he's going to kind of warn me first. And so we've had words for people. We've had words for congregations, you know, and I'm not trying to minimize the working of the Holy Spirit. All I want to do is clarify according to the Word of God how the Holy Spirit works. Not to limit his work, but to come to a place where we recognize and we understand what is from God, what is from me, and what is from the devil. You know, some of the things are pretty obvious. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you to make you afraid. The Holy Spirit doesn't do a lot of stuff. The Holy Spirit works through love. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Your mind can tell you a lot of stuff. I went through 2 days of testings, one at the clinic and one at the hospital this week, and they did find out whether you knew it or not. I do have a heart, okay? Just to reassure you that there's something within me that's beating, and the doctor called it a heart, okay? You people may think it's something different. But, you know, I'm a weird duck at times. I mean, I can go to Walmart and check my blood pressure, and it's better than perfect. I can go up there, and my blood pressure spikes. I don't know if anybody ever has. I don't know if it's a white coat syndrome or it's I start working myself up. I can actually tell, and I never thought of this before. I was sitting in the waiting room waiting for Judy, and I both had physicals this week, and waiting for my wife to come, and I could feel my blood pressure going up. People say, well, you can't do that. I don't know. I knew it was high. Maybe I talked myself into it because I went to the hospital or the clinic, so my blood pressure's high. But then you start, you ever let your mind just run away from you? You know, wake up middle of the night, well, I got a chest pain, I think I have a heart attack. You know, that's not the Holy Spirit. When you start feeling a pain and think you have cancer, that's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. The Holy Spirit, point number one, the Holy Spirit, point number one, is always in agreement with the Word of God. There's no extra messages coming from him that's different than the Word of God. You say, well, how do you know that? Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you have your Bibles. Verse number 16 and 17. For my 5 points, or I think I got five. I don't have a poem, but I do have 5 points. Every one of these is going to have scripture with them. I'm not trying to teach you something apart from scripture. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. How many knows what that word inspiration means? It actually means God breathed. Now, God breathed that this word was written by the Holy Spirit, and we'll just show you that in a moment. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, some people think that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were just created at some time to do their thing. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father is God. How many understand that? How many have ever heard the Trinity? Every one of them in their existence, which has been forever. You ever have your children look at you and say, well, who made God? Whoever made God would be God if they made God. We understand that. Not trying to make you confused, but I'm just trying to get your attention. The Bible says in the second or third verse in Genesis that the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. The Spirit of God is who? The Holy Spirit. In creation, the Holy Spirit was active. He also breathed into the lives of the apostles and people who wrote the Word of God. The Holy Spirit basically translated the Word of God into these people's spirits. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. But listen to this. For prophecy never came by the will of God, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay, look at me. There's nothing missing here. Everything you need for life, for salvation, everything you need is here, and it was put in here by the Spirit of God. You can say, but oh, it was just written by men. We just told you how it was written. It was written as men and women were moved upon by the Spirit of God. God left nothing out that needs to come in here. Look at me. There is no new truth coming. I've had people say, well, I have some new truth. I said, no, you don't. You may have new revelation of what God has said, but the truth of God is here. It was placed here by the Spirit of God. We okay? How many want to stand up and say, I don't believe that? Wait till you leave. Number two. His ministry, or the ministry of the Holy Spirit, always, say always with me, always glorifies Jesus. It always glorifies Jesus. My prayer is on Thursday and Friday and Sunday here and there and Wednesday night here or wherever I am, that the Holy Spirit does mighty works. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit changes and touches lives. My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will convict and convince and reveal and work. But listen, he never does it to glorify Dwight. It's never about me. People get in trouble when they see God moving and suddenly take the thought, boy, I am really good. Look at what God's doing in my life. I'm really good because the Holy Spirit made me that way. And all the glory of it comes to God if I'm really good. Sometimes I am. The Holy Spirit came, and Jesus said so. The Holy Spirit comes to glorify always Jesus Christ. Whatever God is doing in your life, whatever God is ministering in your life, however He leads you, and whatever happens, it can never become a pride issue. Look how good, or look how acceptable I am. Every single one of you are acceptable to God. The Bible says He made us accepted in the Beloved. Turn with me to John 16. I'm probably going to refer to this a few times, but just take a look at it with me. John 16. Verse number 13. John 16:13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And we're going to make this point in a few moments. Whose truth? Who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life? Jesus. So who's the Holy Spirit going to guide us to? Jesus. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is revealing things to come. But a lot of those things to come are in the Word of God. He will, Jesus says, listen to this, He will glorify Me. Jesus is saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Me. In the ministry that the Spirit of God does, He glorifies Jesus. So, how do I respond when the Holy Spirit's working in my life? How do you respond when the Holy Spirit's working in your life? We come to a place of saying, thank You, Jesus. We give the glory to You. We give honor to You. Amen or oh me? Pretty quiet. I'm not even preaching bad today. He will glorify you. So what happens when someone comes to you after you've done something and says, oh, you were wonderful? Don't put on a false sense of humility. Just say, I'm thankful God used me. I'm thankful that I can be used by God. And you can demonstrate to other people that they can be used by God. John 15:26. John 15:26. It says, but when the helpers come, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. The Holy Spirit has a distinct purpose. And we're going to touch on some of those purposes, but the main purpose in the Holy Spirit's ministry is to testify and glorify Jesus. We okay? Okay, number three. I better read this. My eyes are getting weak. Now, if you're sitting here and you're a dispensationalist, have you ever heard the word dispensationalist? If you're sitting here and you're a dispensationalist, you may have some problems with this point, because a dispensationalist says all the gifts and all the ministries and all the power of the Holy Spirit and everything stopped when the Apostle Paul died. I don't believe that, and you'll tell by the message I don't believe that. There's no place in here that says Paul was the last one to see somebody healed. They also believe that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 2, isn't available for today. That was for the apostles. I believe God still does miracles. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Yes, Martha, I do. Thank you. I pick on Martha. And so as we come to these points, if you've been taught that these things stop, I just believe the Holy Spirit has not been limited and still does minister and still does work and still does magnificent things. And so just bear with me. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The Bible says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit, same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing individually as He wills. The Holy Spirit comes to edify, to comfort, to encourage, and to correct. And He works in manifold ways to have that done. You ever been going to do something and you weren't sure if it was right or wrong, but you felt a check in your spirit? You just felt somebody saying, something saying within you, don't? When the Holy Spirit leads us, He is very connected to us and He has the best in mind for us. He works, and the Bible says even prophecy and tongues are for exhortation, edification, and comfort. He comes to help you. He comes to assist you. He comes when you're going through a hard time to comfort you, and that comfort means that He's called alongside to help you in time of struggles. Okay? Do you ever face a dilemma in your life? Do you ever face a tough situation? Do you ever go through a death or a sickness? And all of a sudden, in the midst of that, you feel, you sense someone there to help you. In your discouragement, suddenly you find peace. There's peace there helping you. The Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, we know, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. He comes to assist us and to help us through situations that seem so tough. This is many years ago, and some of you heard me talk about this before, but one of the most documented times of the work in the Holy Spirit in my life was after my mom and dad were killed in a car accident. And I was sitting in a church on Summit Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, and all of a sudden, as I was mourning, it was just a few days after the funeral, the Holy Spirit just asked me one question: would you bring them back? And I had to answer no. I knew where they were, but I was lonely. And the Holy Spirit just simply asked a question that helped me get through it, because I suddenly realized that the reason I wanted them back was for me. They're in the presence of God. And there are times in His edification and comfort and encouragement, He will ask you a question. There are times that as you're going through a struggle and you're making a wrong decision or you're getting off track, He will correct you. How many who really love your children will just let them do whatever they want? Discipline is a sign of love. Amen or oh me? And God will correct us, or He'll discipline us. Now listen, God doesn't correct you in discipline by giving you cancer or a heart attack. I hear one amen. Anybody else agree with that? You know, none of you, when you correct your children, would look at them and say, I want you dead. That's not correction. God doesn't work that way. Too often, everything becomes a situation that God does, even in your insurance policy. It's an act of God. How come they don't put in there an act of the devil? Huh? Why don't they put in there, this was an act of Satan? Satan comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Huh, that's interesting. You've heard me say it often. We just assume that everything that happens in our life is from God, and it's not so. I don't see God going down in the garden and tempting Eve. Amen? And so we have to understand that no matter what you've been through and what I've been through and what we've been going through, God is not an author of confusion. Jesus didn't die for our healing so that we could be sick. He died for our healing and was wounded for our transgressions. And by his stripes we are healed so that he could break the power of Satan who put sickness on you. Now we'll show you that in a few moments. And so God comes to edify you. The Spirit comes to build you up. The Spirit comes to strengthen you. The Spirit comes to give you courage and encourage and to correct us. Now listen, young people especially, God doesn't correct you so that you can't have any fun. You know, God's not some old man sitting up there and say, man, they're just having too much fun in the world. I better do something. He doesn't do that. Why did God say, thou shalt not steal? He didn't want people stealing from you. The Bible says the law wasn't given to the righteous, but they were given to the criminals. God didn't say, thou shalt not commit adultery because he didn't want you to have any fun. He didn't want somebody committing adultery with your husband or your wife. That's pretty good sense. Amen? Come on. Love the way you're shouting. And so we come to a point where God is absolutely, radically interested in your life and the best for your life. How many realize Michael Jackson died? How many understand that no matter what they do about his name and his reputation, he's never going to be God? And how many of us realize, maybe you don't want me to go there, I'm going to go there, that it was a wasted life? Why? He never listened to God. You say, are you saying Michael Jackson's in hell? No, I'm not saying it's hell. I just wouldn't expect to meet him in heaven. So God has your best interest at heart. God wants the best for you. Can you understand that? How many know what I'm talking about? One. Okay, say this. God has in everything my best interest in his heart. How many have ever loved somebody? Do you love them so much you want the best for them? Yeah. God's the same way. If God loved you so much, he gave his son. Don't you think he wants the best for us? Don't you think that's why he kind of sent the Holy Spirit? That we can know the direction and the guidance and the leading of what he's doing in our lives. I'm going to say another thing. There's absolutely no confusion in the life of the Christian who's walking with God about your life. Some people say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Then keep doing what you're doing until he tells you something different. He knows your phone number. He knows your zip code. He even knows your cell phone number. But better than that, he has someone living within you as a Christian that will talk to you. I found something out. If I'm going to make a decision, I'm getting off track here, I'm sorry. If I'm going to make a decision about my life and I have no peace about it, I have turmoil about it, I'm struggling with making the decision, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I have peace about that decision. And if I don't ever have peace about that decision, I'm not going to do it. And here's what happened. Oh, boy. Better say it with me. I love pastor fearing. Okay. Here's what happens. I'll put my book down and I'll get sidetracked on my own. We want to do something so bad, or we want this situation in our life so bad, that we run through the stop signs. That we go through the thing and we're running through the stop sign because I have made up in my mind that this is the best for me, and surely God would want the best for me, so we agree. Hello? It doesn't work that way. When God is leading you, you never have to kick the door down, run through stop signs, run over his word to get it done. Amen? Okay. I almost have some life here. And so as God works in our lives, we come to a place where we understand and we realize and we accept that he sees, he's been in the future. He knows the choices that you're going to make, if they're right or wrong, and if you'll listen to him, and if you'll pray to him, and if you'll talk to him, he'll give you insight. He'll give you insight. He comes to comfort. He comes to edify, build you up. He comes to encourage you. And he comes to correct you. Now, there's three of these that won't happen if you're walking in disobedience. He can't edify you, he can't encourage you, and he can't comfort you if you're walking away from the Word of God and you're doing your own thing. All that you're feeling is correction. And pretty soon you start saying, well, I don't know about God. All he wants to do is hurt me. No, he doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to get your attention. Did I beat that good enough, Kirk? Okay, I can move on. Isn't it a great day? Curtis, you did pretty good. Come up and finish this for me, will you? Number four. And I told you we touched on this, but we're going to go a little deeper into it. He comes to destroy the work of Satan. Absolutely obliterated. He comes to radically work against it. You say, well, how do you know? Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, who went about doing good, healing all that were being controlled, oppressed by the devil. All that were in bondage to Satan Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. If Jesus came to do that, we know the Holy Spirit's doing it. Because Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God. Go to Acts chapter 16 with me. Acts chapter 16. Verse number 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination, fortune telling, met us who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. Now keep in mind, it was a right message, but the wrong spirit, okay? They were men of the Most High God, but they didn't want a fortune teller bound by Satan giving the message. The girl followed Paul and us around, cried, "These men are most of the Most High God." But in verse 18, "And she did this for many days, but Paul, being greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out.'" The Holy Spirit comes to destroy these works. The Holy Spirit anoints you and flows through you and leads you that as you come in contact with the works of the devil, you break them. You break them. The Holy Spirit and Satan don't co-inhabit the same body. He came as Jesus came, and Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do the works that he did. Jesus had emptied himself of all his pre-earthly glory. And he came to earth. And he walked in the same Holy Spirit that you and I walk in. Now you may say that was in the book of Acts. I've seen the same power work in my office. I've had Satanists in there. I saw demons pick him up and throw him off a chair. But I see the Holy Spirit, by the time they left my office, they were free. I've seen it happen in crusades. We've seen it happen up in Saskatoon when we've been up there. The powers of Satan broken. One night a lady wanted to do a war dance after church. People were just standing back looking, but you could tell by what she was doing it wasn't of God. So I took her by the hand and said, "This has to be done in the name of Jesus." We broke the power and she was free. Just absolutely radically free. In your life, when you come across works of Satan, and as people will allow you to get involved in that in their lives or come to you, you have the power to break the power of Satan through the Holy Spirit who is within you. I'm not chasing demons. I'm not looking for demons in every person. But when you come in contact with it, you're going to know it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You're going to know it. And the power of the Holy Spirit will give you that power to chase them out. We need to understand that. The last one. When the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, he's going to sound like Jesus. We read earlier that when he comes, he'll testify of me. He's going to sound like Jesus. Again, not fearful, not frightening, but he's going to be very calm and very beautiful and very peaceful. The Bible says, and we read it in John 16, I'm not going to go back there again, but John 16 told us, he will take of mine and declare it to you. The words that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, he's taking from Jesus and declaring it to you. Now, I understand something. That every thought I have and every idea I have are not from God. But I do understand when the Holy Spirit's speaking to me and showing me things, that I can trust him. He doesn't come to scare you. He comes to encourage you, as we said before. And it's almost like listening to the voice of Jesus. Look at me. Jesus didn't have issues with the sinners. How many realize that? How many realize even with the Gentile, the Syrophoenician woman, when she came to Jesus and said, cast the demon out of my daughter. And Jesus said to her, you know, it's not right for me to give the food of the children to the dogs. And Samaritans were considered dogs. They were outcasts from the Jewish people. And she looked at him and said, but Master, even the puppies eat from the Master's table. And he looked at her and said, I've never seen so much faith. She got her request. Her daughter was delivered. Jesus didn't have an issue with the sinners. Jesus didn't have an issue with the woman taken in adultery, did he? What did the people want to do to her? Stone her. What did Jesus say? You without sin do what? Yeah, if you don't have any sin, you can cast the first stone. What happened? Where did the Pharisees go? They went bye-bye. And then he looked at her and said, I'm not here to condemn you either. Go and sin no more. Jesus had the issues with the religious people. When Jesus got angry, and he did, the Bible says Jesus looked at them with anger when they didn't want him to heal the woman or the man on the Sabbath. When Jesus got angry with people, it was this overly religious pride. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests. He never did, that I can read, and you can look at it. He never did get angry with the sinners. He had compassion and called them to come to him. Okay. You may have made some mistakes in your life. You may have done some things that are wrong. You may have gone through some hard times and you didn't make right choices. You may have been angry. You may have done things that Christians shouldn't do. But listen to me. The Holy Spirit comes to call you back. To bring you back into fellowship, to bring you back into relationship, to bring you back in a relationship that pleases God. And when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit within you saying, come back, repent. He's able to forgive you. He loves you. He will forgive you. Listen. Because you know something? When I make wrong choices, I walk away from him. He hasn't moved. Amen? He's right where he was. I walk away. And to come back, I just need to walk back. I just need to come to him. My prayer is, as I wrap this up, that every one of us will be led by the Spirit of God. That every one of us gets to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the choices we make, the decisions we make, the thoughts we have are going to be from Him. Now, if you're here and you made some wrong decisions, come back. If you're here and you're thinking about making a wrong decision, stop. Look and listen. Because God is faithful.